Well, this morning I invite your attention to John's Gospel, chapter 5, and particularly those first 15 verses, but I'm going to address you on one verse only, really, and I'll come to that in a moment. It's the miracle of the curing of the man at this pool in Jerusalem, the Bethesda pool, where they believed that when the water was ruffled, as it was from time to time, the first into the pool would be cured of his illness, whether it was blindness or deafness or whatever it was, paralysis or whatever. And in verse 5 we learn that there had been a man who'd been in that condition, an invalid for 38 years, and he was there at the pool waiting for the water to be ruffled, hoping to be first into the pool and therefore be cured of his affliction. Seems like it was paralysis. Now you know that these miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think I've addressed you on this before, just to remind you, these miracles of Christ are to be taken as illustrations. They literally happened, of course. They did actually happen as you have it here. They're historical accounts. These Jews wouldn't have tried to murder Christ if it had just been imaginary event, which they tried to do, of course, immediately after this. People don't go around murdering, well, Jews wouldn't go around murdering him for some curious little incident, but of no consequence. This man was cured of his paralysis, all right. But the main reason why this is recorded in Scripture is to illustrate the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are sinners, my friend. We are invalids, if I can use that picture. We are sinners. We are paralyzed. We are blind. We are deaf. We are dumb. As a hymn we sometimes sing, Lord, I was blind. Well, if you don't believe it, don't sing it, my friend. But I believe it. Lord, I was blind. I was deaf. I was dumb. I was dead. But you made the dead to live. You've just sang Cowper's hymn, when he goes over several of these miracles, the woman with the issue of blood reaching out, this man here in the pool, and the dead man, the widow's son, and so on. Now, these are all illustrations of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to save sinners. And we're all sinners, and we need to be saved from our sins. And this is the glorious central core of the gospel. Now, what I want to address you on is in verse 6. And it's only a part of verse 6, and it's the last part. It's the question of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to get well? That's what he asked the man. Jesus saw him lying there, learned he'd been in this condition a long time. He asked him, do you want to get well? Now, my friends, from time to time, I think last time I came here, from time to time I bring sermons which I dare say will tax your brain a great deal, and you have to think pretty hard. I don't apologize for that. I've had to do a bit of thinking myself, so I expect you to do some thinking. But this morning, my friend, it's simplicity itself. Absolute simplicity. I don't think I should preach a more important sermon. Now, this time, I'm going to say this. I don't think I should preach a simpler sermon. It's just a simple little question. Jesus goes up to the man. He sees him lying at the edge of the pool. And he says to him, do you want to get well? Now I say that's a remarkable question. Now just think about it. That's a remarkable question. Here is this collection of men and women lying about here, all of them expecting, looking, longing, waiting for this water to move. And as soon as it moves, the quickest one can get into the pool. He's better. Now, I'm making no comment on that. I don't know whether that was true or not. I don't know. That's not the story at all. That's what they believed anyway, and that's why they were there. And they were hoping that when they saw the pool, the wave, the move, water of the move, they could get in there, first of all, and they would be cured. And then Jesus goes up to one of these men. When he had learned he'd been in that condition for a long time, 38 years, I don't know whether that means he'd been there for 38 years, but he'd been in that condition for a long time, and he asked this question, do you want to get well? Well, I say that's a remarkable question. Now, I'm going to go further. Please don't walk out, but just keep listening. That's a daft question, isn't it? That's a daft question, isn't it? Well, let's go to the doctor's surgery tomorrow morning and they're all sitting there. And you go up to somebody there who's coughing his heart out and his leg's aching. You can see he's rubbing his leg and he's bent over with a stick. And you ask him why he's there. Well, don't you know why he's there? Because he's unwell. And he's hoping the man in the next room, when he calls him in, will give him something to take either the pain away, if preferable, to get him right. There'll be people going into either a hospital in St. Neots, I don't know, but down at where I live, Lister, they'll be going into hospital this afternoon, and they're going to have an operation this morning. Now ask them, why are you here? Well, I want to get better. Did you want to get better? Well, of course they want to get better. Is there anybody who's got a pain doesn't want to get rid of it? Well, you're a remarkable person if you put your hand up. I've never met anybody yet who had a pain who said, I want it to go on. We're all longing for it to be getting rid of. I say to you, that's a remarkable question. There must be something here. Do you want to get well? Well, of course, it's not a dark question, is it? No, I didn't mean to be blasphemous. Because Jesus knows what's in men's hearts, you see. He does not need, the Bible tells me, any man to teach him, for he knows what's in our hearts. And he says to the man, and I think he puts his finger on something, that must be it. Do you want to get well? I learned quite a lot about this man from the question. I learn even more, if you like, now, from his answer. His answer is in verse 7. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. What a rigmarole. What a rigmarole. My friend, there was one answer to this question. Do you want to get well? The answer the man should have given was this. What a daft question. Why ever do you think I'm sitting here? Do I want to get well indeed? No. It's this rigmarole. Well, I can't get in and somebody else always beats me and nobody helps me. It's a long rigmarole, isn't it? Can't you see? The man can't... The Americans have a phrase for it, cut to the chase, I think it is. He can't cut through the cackle. He can't get to the heart of it. The truth is, does he really want to get well? That's the real question. If you got so used to it, man, sitting here, that you rather get used to it so much so that you almost like it. Do you really want to get well? That's the question. Now, I say this is remarkable. Now, I'll tell you something else, which is perhaps even more remarkable, and this is something that's in my experience. I've done a fair bit of preaching in my time, or attempted it anyway, I'll put it that way. So I've travelled around a few churches in my time in the last 50 years. And you know, I've come across some people, and they've been going to chapel and church year in, year out. And they have never, as far as I can tell, I'm not trying to be judgmental, but they have never, ever come to the place where in a simple, personal way, they have come to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now I find that very remarkable. They can go week in and week out. And they can hear sermons on the great love of God, the mercy of God in Christ, the blood of Christ to take away our sins, warning of judgment to come. They hear the scripture read week in, week out. They sing the hymns. 38 years. Some have been there nearly 83 years. And they have never, never come to a saving trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel like saying to them, do you want to get well? Do you want to be saved from your sins? How many years? How many years some people have sat under the gospel? And now for the question to be asked is, do you want to be well? Let me tell you some of the reasons that people offer for staying in that condition. There are some people who perhaps, like this man, they believe the ruffling of the water will cure him, maybe. And I'm sure there are some of these people I'm talking about who do believe that the blood of Christ does wash away from sin. And perhaps they intend one day to repent and believe. But not just now. Perhaps it's not quite a convenient time. There was a man in the Acts of the Apostles. When he said to the Apostle Paul, he said to him, I'll call for you again at a more convenient time. You see, but in my 50 years of preaching, I've never found that that convenient time ever comes. I've never met anybody who ever said to me, I'll come when it's more convenient. And then when I'd gone back to preach in a year or two, they came up to me and they said, do you know that convenient time has come? Because convenient time never comes. That man who said it to Paul. Wait, he said, I'll call for you when it's more convenient. I do not read in the Acts of the Apostles that Paul ever preached to him again. As far as I know, that man died, and the convenient time had never come. I know, perhaps this has died out a bit now, although it's surprising where it still lingers on. A generation or so ago, preachers were very fond. They had if you understand the terminology, a hyper-Calvinistic tendency, and their tendency was to say to people, you keep attending. I can show you documents where this is so, sermons, where they would advise people who were interested in these things, coming under some sense of conviction of sin, and they needed to be right with God. The minister would only say this to them, you keep attending. In fact, in the hymn book, which I love, above all hymn books, there's a hymn there, based on this passage, where the hymn writer actually says, keep at waiting at the pool. I never sing it, because I believe it's wrong. Even though it's a very good hymn book, and the man's a very good man who wrote it. You see, this notion that we should encourage people to keep attending in the hope that one day the waters might ruffle and they might get first in the pool, if I can use the picture. That is to say, to keep saying to sinners, keep attending and maybe God will call you. I do not find it in the Bible. I can show you where it's in Mr. X and Mr. Y's writings, but I can't find it in the Bible. Never in the Bible do I find any preacher. Perhaps you can put me right. I mean, I'd be very interested. I'm writing about these things, so if I'm wrong, I'd like you to put me right. But stay to lunch so you can talk to me. Is there a case? I'd like to know. I'm serious. Is there a case where preachers say, you keep attending. You keep coming to my ministry. Maybe one day God will call you. Now, I'm not saying the opposite. I'm not saying to people, stay away. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying something different to those two things I'll tell you in a moment. These people, though, they don't laugh it off. No, they're most serious about it. They don't dismiss what we're saying. They don't dismiss this gospel. But they just keep waiting. Now, my experience, my friend, with this sort of case is this. That the longer you wait, the harder it gets. This man, I don't know about your paralysis. I haven't got any paralysis, but I'm getting a bit of arthritis here and there. And I don't find it gets any better. It gets gradually worse. My mother used to say about it, you know, it's very difficult to get going in the morning, sort of thing. Very stiff and all that sort of stuff. I expect one or two of you might have said it. Do you find, my friend, the longer you wait, the better it gets, the easier it gets? My friend, the longer we go on outside of Jesus Christ, I believe the harder it gets. I don't say it's impossible. Of course not. Praise God, it's not. I baptized a lady 80, although she'd been believing about 60 years. She belonged to that sort of group. You had to wait to be baptized. But my friend, if anybody was converted at 80, I shouldn't mind. That's not my problem. But the world's got it right, my friend. Strike while the iron is hot. That's what I see in my Bible, anyway. Now, I don't know. There might be somebody here. I don't know. You do. Is there anybody here who's come up under this kind of ministry where you've heard some dear old saints in the past preaching to you, and that was his word? Now, you just keep coming. You keep waiting. I'm sorry, my friend, with respect to your great minister friend, he was wrong. He was wrong. There are other people, I don't know whether there's anybody here. They're waiting for something special. They've read in some book about some remarkable experience that somebody has had, and this has brought them to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they think to themselves, if only I could have this remarkable experience. If I could hear this voice. If I could see this vision. If I could have that dream. They've read about Paul himself, that remarkable conversion on the Damascus Road. If they could hear a voice and see a light. They've heard somebody give a testimony like this. You know, I went to chapel and the minister stood up and his text was X, Y, or Z. Do you know, the next week I went along and another minister stood up and his text was the same text. But you know, when it happened three times in a row, I really thought God was speaking to me. Now, is that your testimony? You've heard somebody say that kind of thing and you think, if only I could have that. You want some special word, my friend, do you? Well, I've got one for you. Repent and believe the gospel. That's a special word, and it's for you. God commands all men everywhere to repent. There's a special word, and it's for you, because you're one of the all men. What I'm saying to you, my friend, is this. Where in Scripture are we told to look for these special events which bring us to Christ? God has given us His special word. He has sent His Son into the world. What speciality do you want? It's the Lord Jesus has come. And God has spoken to us in these last days by His Son. And His first word in the Gospel of Mark was, repent and believe the Gospel. Some people perhaps are a bit taught in the Scriptures and they understand that there is something called effectual calling. Now, perhaps some of you don't understand that, but just to explain, the Bible shows to us very plainly that God's Spirit is the only one who can work in our hearts to bring us to a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God's Spirit can do it. Here is a preacher this morning, I've already done it, commanding sinners, inviting sinners to trust, to believe, and so on. That's what we call the general call, if you like. That's the outward call. But only God's Spirit can take those words and put them into my heart, and put them into my mind, and give me a heart, and give me a mind that will repent and believe. That is called effectual calling. And perhaps you've been taught that, and you've heard about it. Well, you've heard about it now. And you're waiting for that time when you feel that effectual call, when you feel that inward working of the Spirit. Well, find anybody in the Bible, my friend, who is encouraged to wait for such a thing. Do you know the only way you can know you're elect? Do you know the only way you can know that you've got the effectual working of God's Spirit? Do you know the only way in Scripture that you can find out if the Lord Jesus Christ died for you in particular? That is by trusting Him. Once you trust Him, then you know, knowing your election, said Paul to the Thessalonians, because you believed what we preached to you. Do you want to know that God's Spirit has worked in you? Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will know it. I go preaching in a couple of chapels, not very far from here, a little bit further north, where 50 years ago, it must have been a wonderful time in that village. It was said at a certain chapel where I go, that if you weren't there by 6 o'clock, you wouldn't get a seat. downstairs and gallery. You wouldn't get a seat if you weren't there by 6 o'clock for a 6:30 service. I'm afraid times have grievously changed. They've closed the gallery. They've shortened this and shut that and everything else. But a few people are still assembling there. I go to a couple of chapels like this, and they're linked together. And I meet people who were young people 50 years ago. They're now in their 70s and 80s, but they were in their teens and 20s when this work was going on. And several of them date their conversion to those days. Several of them were baptized 50 years ago in the open air, some of them there too. But there are some in these congregations who, though they were there 50 years ago, did not come to Christ at that time and were not baptized. But they're still attending chapel. And it's been my lot to preach to them on and off, well, pretty regularly, mostly on actually, quite regularly for the last 6 years. But I know of a friend of mine who's been preaching them regularly for 30 years. And I have had occasion to say to them in public on this text, but I say it here this morning, what are people waiting for? Are they waiting for that time when people were flocking to Christ? And if only those days could come back, they would come. If only the days came back when Pastor so-and-so was here, I won't mention his name, and these days when people were flocking here, and my wife, my husband, or my friend was coming to Christ, I would come now. But of course we live in much different days, my friend. You've got me instead of Pastor X, and I'm afraid they aren't flocking. You can get in at 6:30 and still find a seat. My friend, is there anybody in such a condition as that? Think of it in a physical condition. Think of it, that you'd only come to have your operation if there was 50 other people in the same queue as you that day. Would you care if anybody else was in the hospital queue or just you? You want to be cured, don't you? Say you're the only one here who will come to Jesus today. Well, I'll settle for it. Will you? Of course, I'd like, half a dozen, of course. I'd like the whole village to come. But I'll take one. Is there one? That's what Jesus says to the man. Do you really want to get better? You're sitting here. You give us the impression, he said, but do you really want to get well? Just one other little thought on that. Are you waiting for a special sermon, my friend? Some people are waiting for a special sermon. Some token for it. Well, is this the special sermon? I'll tell you what's special about it. You won't hear a simpler sermon. Now, that's special. But it's special, my friend, because it's the sermon this morning. Isn't it? It's the 21st of January, isn't it? 2007. And it's the only sermon you will hear Sunday morning on the 21st of January, 2007. So that's special. Maybe it's special enough for you to come. See, you could tell your friends. It wasn't Pastor X. It was just that old man who preached. And it was just a simple little talk he gave us. But you know, God worked in my heart, and that is the most precious text in the Bible to me now. Do you want to be made well? And I said to God, I do. I do with all my heart. Do you want Jesus? I do. Will you have Jesus? I will. Now, I'm not very keen on spiritualizing the Old Testament, but I'll give you Brownlow North's title. Do you remember Brownlow North? I don't know the man's name, but the book. He preached a sermon and he wrote a book on it. On Genesis 24, is it when Abraham sent his servant to get a bride for his son Isaac? And you remember when he saw the woman and he talked to the brother and about God? Well, do you remember the question the brother asked? Will you go with this man? Will you go with this man? And that's what he called the book. Will you go with this man? You see, he said, that's a picture.
That's what we say to sinners. Will you go with this man? You've heard of George Whitefield. George Whitefield, probably one of the greatest, probably the greatest English preacher we've ever had. He preached in Fetter Lane in London to a society of women, a women's meeting. Now, I don't know what goes on in your women's meetings, I don't know. But George Whitefield preached a sermon in 17-something, I don't know when it was, to this society of young women, in Fetter Lane. And do you know what it was? He told them straight. He said, "I've come to bring you a proposal of marriage today," he said. "I've come to bring you a proposal of marriage, not to me, but to Jesus Christ. I offer him to you," he said, "as husband. Will you take him?" Well, I don't know how many people were converted that day, but a good many were converted under his ministry. But my friend, that's what I've come to do. I've come to say to you, like this man, do you want to get well? If you've never trusted the Savior, do you want to? Or are you looking for something special? Some special experience? Or will you say, "No, I will take this man"? I must have a word or two before I finish on the cure. You see, I talked a lot about the man. But you see, my friend, can I just say this? Look, it's Jesus who cured this man, isn't it? It's Jesus who cured him. If I could be so daft, if Jesus hadn't come that day, he'd still be sitting at the pool, waiting for the water to ruffle. But Jesus didn't bother with the water. He said, "Take up your mat and walk." But I see here, my friend, and I return to it. I see the responsibility of this man. He is responsible. He is accountable. He is answerable. If he just goes on sitting there with his rambling rigmaroles of excuses, then I'm afraid, my friend, he is responsible for perishing in his sins, if I may come into the spiritual. See, I preach this strange gospel doctrine that if I am to be saved, it's all of Jesus Christ. And if I am to be lost, it's all my fault. If you got it, I'll say it again. You may say it's unbalanced. Well, let it be unbalanced. If I am ever to be saved, it's all because of Jesus Christ. Because he died for me. Because he prays for me. Because he's coming for me. If ever I am damned, it's because I refused him. Because I said no when he asked me, "Do you want to be get well?" And I said, "Well, no, I'm not really bothered about it very much, thank you." So I say to you, my friend, the notion that we should go on waiting at the pool is man's gospel. Christ's gospel is, do you want to be made well? And when I link that with what I see in Scripture, I asked you just now, if anybody could show me a case when preachers invited people to go on waiting, to go on looking and hoping, I don't see it. Perhaps a text came into your mind. Perhaps the text that came into your mind, it often came into the mind of these preachers I was talking about. Seek and you shall find. Knock shall be opened, ask and you shall receive, and so on. You see, they use that text a lot. It's a tragic misapplication of the text, isn't it? If you read the passage, I think you'll find it in Matthew 7. You'll find it's a text all about believers seeking for further gifts and blessings of the Holy Spirit. Of course, seek him, yes. Now, I'll give you a few texts to sinners. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now, that's quite the opposite, isn't it? If he's near, if he's spoken, then go for him. If the opportunity arises, take it. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And how about this one in the 2 Corinthians chapter 6? Now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the day. Now is the accepted time. Show me a text where tomorrow is the accepted time. I know of no one. My friend, I say this in this way because it's so important to me. I deal with people on this issue. And I find that preachers are saying, "Well, you go on waiting. You know, perhaps it'll happen, you know. And the idea that we've recovered the doctrines of grace and the God's sovereignty is a very wonderful thing to me. But if that's made preachers say to sinners, well, you go on waiting and let God and wait for God, I know it not, my friend. The great Calvinistic preachers of the past said no such thing. They said the opposite. Arise and follow him. Come now. Seek the Lord while he may be found. My friend, I appeal to you, if I can come round and ask you individually, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, why not? Do you want to trust him? Do you want him? Do you want to have peace with God? Do you want to go into glorious heaven when you die? I'm sure you do. Then, my friend, now is the day. Now is the time. Now, I've said not a word have I to help any true believer here this morning. How can I have helped you? You know all this. It's so simple. You can just dismiss it. But I hope you feel your hearts have been a little bit warmed. I tell you this, my friend, if ever I come, well, I'm due to come again and preach. You will know this, won't you, then? If you bring a sinner with you, an unbelieving friend, you will know they'll get the gospel when I preach. I will address them, I tell you. I will never get out of this pulpit without addressing sinners. I promise it to you. Even when I'm in you, my friend, dealing with you as believers and saying the most deep things on the gospel, I will have a word, if I can, by God's grace for sinners. And my word this morning is Christ's word. I know it's been a short and simple sermon. It's not rambling all over the place. But is it a word for you, my friend? Do you want to get well? He's there, my friend. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold me and see. Do you like Bunyan's sermon, Come and Welcome? He was a great Calvinist. Do you like that title? Come and Welcome. I say it in his name, Jesus' name. Come to him. And all who come, he will cast none out. He will receive all who come. The trouble is with me, my friend, I have not found many who want to come. I've never found one yet who came and found that Jesus turned them away. I ask you once more, do you want to be made well? That's the issue. Want. Want, my friend. Have you got the will for it? The heart for it? The desire for it? Perhaps you might say to me, I don't know how to pray. That's the prayer for you, my friend. Then just tell Jesus that. I don't know Jesus. I just want you. See, you prayed. God be merciful to me. And he will be. He will be.